For medication, yes. For medical treatment, it is permissible to buy it, mm-hmm. To have a form of marijuana and sell it, mm-hmm. to people or to doctors, provided that it's prescribed by a doctor.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun La ilaha illa hum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Sameehun Basir
from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام من هوان الدنيا على الله أنه لا يعصى إلا فيها ولا ينال ما عنده إلا بتركها
Imam Ali said, "It is the proof of the humbleness of the world before Allah that Allah is disobeyed only herein, and His favors cannot be achieved except by abandoning it." Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we find in the very words of Imam Ali, alayhi salam, and we realize from the very words of Imam Ali, alayhi salam, that he was a very beautiful, eloquent speaker and writer. We can see this very clearly in the book Nahjul Balagha, The Peak of Eloquence, which is a compilation of Imam Ali's sermons, his letters, and his short statements. Truly, we witness the beauty of the speech and the speaking ability and the writing ability and the eloquence of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and as it is referred to in Arabic as fasaha and balagha. And so we find in sermon number 203 in Nahjul Balagha that Imam Ali alayhi salam, peace and blessings upon him, says, "When a man dies, people ask what property he has left behind, while the angels ask what good deeds he has sent forward. May Allah bless you. Send forward something, for it will be alone for you. And do not leave everything behind, for that would be a burden upon you." A very beautiful and profound statement. And of course, when each of us will die, people will ask what was left behind as inheritance, or what was left behind by so and so. But the angels who are waiting for us on the other side, waiting for us after the gate of death is crossed, those angels will ask us, "What good deeds have you sent forward?" So the property that was left behind will not be of any use, unless, of course, it is given away on the path of Allah. But what will be of use, and indeed of great use, is what we have sent forward. Imam Ali says, "May Allah bless you. Send forward something. Send good deeds forward. Whatever you have done in this life, which was for the sake of Allah, and it was on the path of Allah, that is what will be counted. That is what will be waiting for you, as if you have given out a loan, and it will come back to you." It is what we do in our lives, brothers and sisters, dear friends. It is what we do in our lives for the sake of Allah. In this temporary world, this world of trial, it is these good deeds which we will see in the hereafter, in the Akhirah. And so, as Imam Ali says, do not leave everything behind, because that would only be a burden upon you. For that which is left behind in this temporary world will be temporary, and it will be destroyed, and it will be vain. But that which we send forward will be saved for an eternity, where we too are to live for eternity. A profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك الأمان يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
O Allah, I ask you for the protection on the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil.
وأسألك الأمان يوم يعض الظالم على يدي يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا.
And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger. And I ask you for protection on the day when the guilty shall be recognized by their marks, so they shall be seized by the forelocks and the feet. And I ask you for protection on the day when a father shall not give any satisfaction for his son, nor shall the child give any satisfaction for his father. Surely the promise of Allah is true.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In this program I would like to talk about Amir al-Mu'mineen, not that much from the historical point of view, But I would like to share with you some of his words about himself in Nahj al-Balagha. Ali in the words of Ali. There is a khutbah in Nahj al-Balagha, khutbah number 3. Very powerful, very sensitive, where he actually lays down the reason why he has accepted this and what is his mandate. That's where he says that, you know, I knew this was my right from day one, but I was deprived. And after 25 years, people came back to him. And there he says, I have only accepted it because unlike the case of Saqifa, now I have the support of the people. So I don't have an excuse on the day of Qiyamah to say to Allah that, oh, people were not there with me. And number two, he says, because Allah has taken a pledge on people like me that I'm not allowed to be indifferent when I see the ummah divided between the oppressors and the oppressed. He went right in the beginning where he says, أَمَّا وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ تَقَمَّصَهَا إِبْنَ أَبِي قَحَافَ وَإِنَّهُ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ مَحَلِّ مِنْهَا مَحَلَّ الْقُطُبِ مِنَ الرَّحَى. He uses the word تَقَمَّصَ. تَقَمَّصَ is from قَمِيس. تَقَمَّصَ means to put on the shirt. It's a verb form here now. And so Amir al-Mu'minin says that by Allah, Ibn Abi Qahafa, referring to the first Khalifa, لَقَدْ تَقَمَّصَهَا, he put on the shirt of Khilafat while he knew it didn't fit him. It didn't fit those who were before. And the way Khilafat fits to him, he describes, he says, he knew, while he knew that my position to Khilafat is the position of the axis in relation to the handmill. The problem is, you know, this generation doesn't know what is a handmill. They have grinders at home, you know, all electrical. But just about 50 years ago, if people wanted to grind things, they would have this handmill at home. And this is how you get flour and other things. But for those two stones to work together, you needed a pole in the middle. And the stone at the top will have a hole in there, which you will fix on it, and then you will be able to move the stone on the top over the bottom. Otherwise, they will not really go together. It will not work properly. It will fall off. And this is what Amir al-Mu'minin says. If you look at Khilafat, if that handmill is the Khilafat, that pole in between, that's the Qutb. And that's me. The system of leadership and Khilafat of Islam, he says, I am there, in middle there. If you don't have it that, the system will not work properly. And this is where he says, and then, you know, after describing that, I am the central part of the system of Khilafat. Without me, it will not work.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Hunger strike is a protest method. Those who go on a hunger strike refuse food or drink. People use hunger strikes when they have no other way of protesting. Prisoners usually do this to protest their detention conditions, call for a change in a policy, or bring attention to a specific matter. By drawing international attention to the plight of prisoners, they aim to put pressure on their jailers and spur a change in policy. That's what Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails have been doing. For decades, thousands of Palestinian inmates have gone under hunger strikes to protest their situation. The administrative detention and the fact that the Israeli regime has no right to hold them without any specific reason.
As for Hiba, she was arrested on August 15th at the Kerama border crossing where she was on her way from Jordan to the West Bank. She was held and interrogated at an intelligence center, being denied any liars. The commission's liar visited her 2 days ago, and in her report, she said Hiba's lost around 10 kilograms. She's been isolated, abused, assaulted, and held in brutal conditions. She informed the liar she won't end the hunger strike as long as she's held under administrative detention.
Israeli occupation is primarily responsible for the life of Maher al-Akhras because after more than 70 days of a hunger strike, he suffered serious weight loss and he repeatedly loses consciousness. His heart could suddenly stop. Today he's in a serious health condition. This requires immediate intervention from all sides to reach a solution to save his life.
Under international law, Israel is responsible for the well-being of all persons in its custody. So hunger strikes can be used to pressure the occupying regime. Earlier this month, a mass hunger strike was staged across Israeli jails. Up to 400 Palestinian inmates went on a hunger strike. Just in September, another 1,400 Palestinian prisoners launched a hunger strike. Both hunger strikes were in reaction to the punitive measures imposed on Palestinian inmates following the escape of six Palestinians from Gilboa prison last month. It all started on September 6th when Israeli jail authorities realized that six inmates had escaped the maximum security jail through a tunnel. The jailbreak made a mockery of Israeli authorities. Although all six escapees were captured, the fact that they carried out such an operation right under the nose of prison guards made it quite embarrassing. So in response, the Israeli prison service cracked down particularly hard on prisoners belonging to the Islamic Jihad, to which five of the escapees belong. The Israelis transferred several prisoners belonging to the Islamic Jihad to solitary confinement, and leaders of the movement were transferred to interrogation cells. The conditions the prisoners were living under were so harsh, they decided to stage a hunger strike. In a statement, the prisoners said the strike is a rebellion and rejection of prison administration laws. Since 1968, Palestinians have been launching mass and individual hunger strikes after Israel occupied the remaining Palestinian territories of the West Bank, Jerusalem al-Quds, and the Gaza Strip. The first strike was on February 18, 1969, in Ramleh prison. The prisoners protested meager portions and poor quality food, as well as the policy of banning writing stationery and being forced to address their jailers as sir. The strike ended when prison authorities put the prisoners in solitary confinement. In July 1970, Abdul Ghader Abu Al-Fahm became the first Palestinian prisoner to die during a hunger strike. Al-Fahm died because of force feeding by Israeli prison authorities, who inserted a nasal feeding tube into his lungs instead of his stomach. Israel constantly uses this method of force feeding prisoners on hunger strike. The United Nations Committee Against Torture has called on Israel to ensure that prisoners on hunger strike are not subjected to force feeding or other medical treatment against their will, as it could amount to torture. The world body also said the practice under no circumstances will comply with human rights standards. A hunger strike in September 1984 is considered a turning point in the history of hunger strikes. 800 prisoners reportedly joined the strike for better conditions in the Nablus prison. Prisoners were crammed into overcrowded cells, suffering from a lack of ventilation and no reading material. The strike brought about many changes, such as bringing in a radio, TV, clothes, and better quality food. In 1992, one of the most successful hunger strikes across Israeli jails occurred. 7,000 prisoners joined the movement. The strike resulted in major achievements, such as shutting down the prison's isolation section, stopping strip searches, increasing family visitation time, and allowing cooking slates in the cells. Mikhdad Qawasme is the latest individual who has staged a hunger strike against his administrative detention. The last time the 24-year-old was on the news, he was in an intensive care unit after 91 days of strikes. It's often said that hunger strikes are a non-violent form of protest, but by refusing food and drink, protesters put their lives in danger. They risk permanent damage to their health and eventually death. Even after a protester decided to end a hunger strike, there is the potential risk of refeeding syndrome. This syndrome occurs because of the shifts in fluids and electrolytes, meaning that giving too much food or fluids too quickly may be dangerous and potentially fatal. It may include liver dysfunction, heart arrhythmia, and pulmonary, neurological, or other symptoms. There are cases in which hunger strikes can amount to torture as well. There are currently 4,600 Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails, including 35 women and 200 children. All these hunger strikes are just last desperate calls for help from Palestinian prisoners. Will the international community finally do something serious for them?
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbak wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik. O Allah, verily I seek nearness to you through remembrance of you. After Imam Ali alayhi salam asked the Almighty Allah to forgive all the sins that he named and all the sins that he didn't, the major or minor sins, intentional or unintentional ones, hidden or apparent, the sins done in childhood or adulthood, after asking the Almighty Allah to forgive all the sins, he says, Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik. O Allah, verily I seek nearness to you through remembrance of you. Let us start the discussion this way. Humans' excessive belonging to material issues and this life, to the extent that they become like that of a hard veil between him and his Lord. Extreme inclination to sensual desires, being drowned in mere enjoyments, spending every minute of valuable life for gaining wealth, and accompanying the negligent people, leaving goodness and charity and wastage of food, clothes, and property, and inattention to relatives and the friends and the ones in need, and negligence in doing obligatory deeds and committing unlawful acts, lack of knowledge, and all other things that I cannot name, are all signs of the human being resident in the ruins which is remote from the Almighty Allah. where we can call the material world. So that's why we refer to this world as a ruin. In this ruin, nothing is found but fraud. Nothing is found but plunder, hypocrisy, lying, betray, adultery, murder, stinginess, jealousy, hatred, wrath, wrongdoing, enmity, and all satanic attributes. In this ruin, the treasure of humanity is seized by Satan. The precious life is wasted, and the asset of the human spirit is destroyed. He is arrested in nihilism, ungratefulness, and disbelief, and he is entangled in permanent loss and misfortune. And you know why this happens? This happens because this ruin is completely controlled by Satan. Most people of this ruin are apparently humans, but they are animals in reality. They are engaged in useless acts. They are always away from belief and reality, and they are stuck to whims and conjectures. Like a disbeliever's grave, it is full of ornaments in appearance, but really full of severe chastisement.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme, and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom, and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
When we say we have a religion, and the religion has some recommendations and some obligations, it is a religious and logical obligation for this kind of prisoner of the ruins of remoteness to release himself from the material belongings. And he can do so by means of Almighty Allah's remembrance. He can reach this place of mercy, this place of virtues and honesty and truth, by tasting the sweetness of nearness to the Almighty Allah. But prior to that, he has to start the remembrance of the Almighty. He has to be adorned with the divine ethics. He has to accompany the prophets, the truthful ones, and the martyrs. That's why Imam alayhi salam says, Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik. I seek nearness to you through remembrance of you. You may remember, we refer to one narration from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, Kullu kalam ibn Adam alayhi, all the speeches of man are to his harm, except amran bil ma'ruf, nahyan an munkar, aw dhikra Allah. Except enjoining good and forbidding evil, and except his invocation to Allah. This is the true meaning of religion. This is what religion is here to do. To take the hands of such miserable people and push them out from this ruin of remoteness from the Almighty Allah. And this can only be achieved by His remembrance. We will, inshallah, talk about this part of the supplication more in the next programs. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars. In the book, The Inner Voice, Allama Sayyid Said Akhtar Rizvi aptly explains the need for a man to understand his purpose in life and to be able to ponder over some of the important aspects of our journey in reaching nearness to Allah. Today, we will read to you an excerpt of this book. Stay with us. Philosophy of Pilgrimage. Hajj is in the months well known. If anyone undertakes to perform that duty therein, let there be no obscenity, nor wickedness, nor wrangling in the Hajj. And whatever good you do, God knows it. Quran chapter 2, verse 196. The pilgrimage to Mecca. About 1,500,000 Muslims will spend the week in Arafat, Muzdalifah, Mina, and Mecca under the most strict discipline of Hajj. But self-restraint and discipline is not the only benefit of this pilgrimage. And it can also be achieved by fast of Ramadan. The most endearing feature of Hajj is that it serves to crush the pride and destroy the egoistic tendencies of the individual. It creates humility and humbleness. It is just impossible to show your individuality and identity in Hajj. Are you a scholar or an illiterate? Are you a king? Or an ordinary man, a military strong man, a revered man of religious world, it does not matter what was your rank or designation in your own world. This is the domain of religion and God, and here you are simply one more servant of Allah, nothing more, nothing else. You have to wear simple cotton dress, unstitched sheets wrapped around the body. You cannot distinguish yourself even by inventing your own style of wearing. You have to wear it in the same way as the other 1,500,000 pilgrims are doing. Do you want to wear some medals or other distinguishing decorations? No chance. It is not allowed, or at least some enchanting hairstyle. But heads are shaved and you are to do accordingly. Could you imagine a hard-headed executive of a firm or an arrogant dictator of a country wearing two white sheets, trotting between two hills seven times, forgetting all his pomp and show? Could you image an unusually reserved aristocrat hitting a pillar with stones day after day, oblivious of the fact that 3 million eyes are upon him? Could you think of a millionaire living in hardship just like less fortunate human beings, but without any complaint or murmuring? Here is your chance to see these imponderables turn into accomplished facts. Arrogance, pride, high-headedness, wealth, honor, academic qualifications, political achievements, military victories, everything is worthless here. Nothing can be admired here. The only thing which has any value, you as a servant of God.
Thank you so much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama Speech, which was an excerpt from the book Inner Voice by Allama Sayyid Said Akhtar Rizvi. Our website is parsetoday.com. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
Flocks of sheep are on the streets of Madrid. The animals have made their way through the center of the Spanish capital to follow ancient migration routes. Shepherds accompanied their sheep and goats moving through the streets of the Spanish capital. They actually marked a centuries-old annual tradition that began in 1994. The event allows shepherds to migrate their cattle from summer to winter pastures. They do so based on a deal struck in 1418 that allows the animals to walk through the city freely. The event attracts hundreds of people. It was canceled last year due to the pandemic, but this year, many locals came out to watch.
The Philippines is among the countries facing a soaring plastic waste crisis. However, a group of recyclers are working hard to tackle the problem, turning the waste into building materials. The group is called the Plastic Flamingo, or simply the PLAF. They gather bottles, single-use sachets, and snack food wrappers. The waste is then shredded and molded into post-add planks that can be used for decking and fencing. Their products are also durable enough to make disaster relief shelters and urban furniture. The group says the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the plastic waste problem, sparking a rush for protection equipment. Their disposal is a matter of concern now.
Because of the plastic problem we're currently facing, the pandemic, the huge accumulation of plastic use, there's also improper disposal. People are unaware on, you know, how do I dispose these plastics? Where do I dispose of them? So at the same time, we give that avenue also that instead of putting it in landfills or oceans in general, you know, you give it to the PLAF, you give it to recycling centers like us, and we would recycle these, upcycle them into better products.
The PLAF says surging online shopping is also another problem that they try to address. The group has collected over 100 tons of plastic waste since it started the business in 2019. However, they still have a lot to do. A UN report says some 300 million tons of plastic waste are produced annually, with South Asian countries accounting for 60% of it. A North Macedonian zoo has a new inhabitant. It may be small, but it has certainly sparked a big amount of joy. The baby marmoset was born 3 weeks ago. Its parents are super protective of their precious offspring. That's why zoo staff have not been able to get close to the baby and determine if it's a male or a female. The tiny primate will be given a name after its sex is known. Marmosets are the world's smallest monkeys. On average, they are about 13 centimeters long and weigh up to 100 grams. The adorable animals can be found in a number of countries in the Americas.
The hustle and bustle of modern life has made it difficult to communicate with nature the way humans used to do a few decades ago. Now a giant statue in the state of New York reminds us of the importance of lending an attentive ear to our surroundings. The massive statue named Water's Soul is located along the Hudson River. Her woman's head, with her index finger pressing on her lips, seems she's asking bystanders to maintain silence. It's a work of 66-year-old Spanish artist Juanme Palenza. He says the message of his work is, quote, to call on people to listen to the profound noise of the water talking to us. Water's Soul was made of polyester resin, fiberglass and marble dust at a Barcelona studio. It was later shipped to its Jersey City site for assembly. The sculpture is 24 meters tall.
You might have heard of Iran's stellar wrestling achievements or about its soccer team, but that's not all. Another sport has grabbed attention too. Golfers now competing during Iran's national golf tournament in Tehran. This year, 90 participants from around the country played on a very unique golf course. It has only 13 holes instead of the standard 18, but that hasn't stopped golf enthusiasts playing the 13 holes and then repeating the last five to complete the tournament. The good news is that the golf course might not stay so small for long. Iran's Golf Federation hopes to bring in more people interested in golf. But for this to happen, the infrastructure must be provided first.
We don't have the space to use the 350 instructors to train the 3,000 registered men and women across the country, so we decided to build a national academy off the golf course. Course number 18 will be used in a competition venue during tournaments and as a training and education venue during non-competition times.
When the course was built decades ago in northern Tehran, it had five more holes. But over the years, fairways were laid across parts of the field, reducing playable footprint. Tehran's golf club has about 300 members, half are women. Golf has been around in Iran for over a century, and most of the courses are in southern provinces. Concerned about endangered animals? If yes, then it will be good news that a Mexican zoo has welcomed a newborn zebra. It belongs to the most threatened of the three species of zebra in the world. The foal made a public appearance Thursday, 10 days after it was born at a zoo in northern Mexico. It's about 50 centimeters tall. Its weight, between 10 to 15 kilograms. The newborn equine raises hopes for the conservation of the imperial zebra species.
We are the only zoo in Mexico that has this species of zebra. Unfortunately, it is an endangered species. Here at the zoo, we are doing everything possible to preserve and produce them so that in the future, we can repopulate some other parks.
The imperial zebra is native to Africa. It is the largest of the wild equids, the family of horses, donkeys, and other animals. Currently, there are less than 2,500 of imperial zebras in the wild. That's blamed on the destruction of their habitat, illegal hunting, and lack of food.
The world's largest Ferris wheel has opened to public in the United Arab Emirates. Dubbed the Dubai Eye, the wheel takes the visitors to a height of 250 meters. Feast their eyes on the city skyline. That is almost double the height of the iconic London Eye and over 80 meters taller than the high roller in the U.S. city of Las Vegas. Each full rotation of the giant structure takes 38 minutes. The city put on a spectacular firework and light display to celebrate the open.
The 38th edition of the International Short Film Festival has kicked off in the Iranian capital, with some 63 films from 32 countries competing in the event. The festival has for the first time turned into an Oscar qualifying event, giving winning entries a shot at the Academy Awards. This is being held at Tehran's famous Iran Mall cinema complex, and it will showcase short feature documentary and experimental works. 5 Iranian films and 58 from abroad are selected for the grand prize, and the winner will be presented to the Academy for possible Oscar nomination. The jury has members from Iran as well as Italy, Japan, and France. The festival will be running until October 23rd.
Natural disasters often disrupt normal life, but that's not the case with an Indian couple who got married despite their town being submerged by floodwaters. The couple, identified by local media as health workers in Kerala State, managed to reach a temple for the wedding in a giant cooking pot. They could be seen smiling and waving in their ceremonial clothes while two of their relatives were steering the pot. The couple reportedly borrowed the pot from the temple, saying that was the only option available. The pair was unwilling to postpone their big day, adding an unforgettable story to a country that is famous for many incredible things. Feeling down, it's all right to cry and get help. That's all what a place called the Crying Room tries to tell its visitors in Spain. The Crying Room is part of a building located in central Madrid. It's free and open to the public. The Crying Room aims to remove the stigma attached to mental health, crying, and seeking help. It offers a wide range of services, from a corner to crying, to a phone with a list of psychologists people can call. Motivating messages are also visible on the walls. People have hailed the initiative, saying it helps them speak out about their negative emotions.
I think it's an excellent idea to visualize the widespread of the mental health issue. And I think it's a really fun take on it, to call it the crying room, because of the Spanish expression, if you want to cry, go to the crying room. So it's kind of stigmatized to cry in Spain, as in many other countries. So I wanted to take part in this this visualization of the problem.
The Crying Room was opened in an effort to raise awareness about mental health and well-being. Official data in Spain showed that around 40% of people had symptoms of depression last year. Another 30% experienced anxiety.
The first movie in orbit in the making. Two Russian nationals who traveled to the International Space Station to shoot scenes of that movie are now back on Earth. The Soyuz MS-18 spacecraft carrying an actress and a film director undocked from the ISS early Sunday and successfully touched down in Kazakhstan about 3 hours later. The film crew, along with a veteran astronaut, blasted off from the Russian leased Baikonur Cosmodrome earlier this month. They spent 12 days in the ISS to shoot the scenes. The mission beats a Hollywood movie project starring Tom Cruise. The mission adds to a long list of firsts for Russia's space industry.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Fabric cuts used to recreate Vietnamese landscapes. A woman living in the capital, Hanoi, has been doing that for 40 years now. The artist, 61 years old, explains what material she uses to create her artworks.